Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we are going through Numbers right now. We left off in chapter 13, so I'm just going to pick up there. They chose one of the elders of the families of each tribe of the children of Israel, and they sent them as spies to spy out the land and to bring back a report, perhaps, so that they could come up with a plan to war and go in and take the land from the inhabitants as the Heavenly Father, as Yahuwah, had commanded them. So they chose one person from each tribe, and they're receiving their instruction to see the land, what is in it, the people that dwell there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, whether it's good or bad, whether the land be fat or lean, or whether there be wood therein or not. And so they're just to bring back a report of everything that they can report on. And he says to them, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So we're talking about the time of the year here that they're going into the land was when the grape ripens in the vine. So that would be toward the end of summer, most likely. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. So trying to give us a date there, which I take a lot of research for me to research that, when Zoan in Egypt was built, so I could see Hebron was 7 years before that. So they came to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bore it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. So these spies go out for 40 days, and then they return. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And these the children of Anak were obviously a family, a race, if you want to call it a race. I don't really like the word race, because the different cities and different populations were usually built on families that, you know, and of course if a family was strong and they interbred whatever characteristics were in that family or in their genetic makeup would tend to dominate that culture. So you had the children of Anak, who were obviously very large people. You know, they could have been 12, as it's common, even though as I've learned, that the Smithsonian has many hundreds of skeletons of people 10, 12, 15 feet high. They have hundreds of these skeletons. Of course, they hide them from the people because they don't want people to know that people used to be bigger than they are at one time. And I believe that's true, especially before the flood, with the conditions that you had there, with the atmospheric conditions being different. But if you want to learn about that, you know, go to drdino.com and get his seminar series, and it covers all of that information. And I would or you can get a copy of that from firstamendmentradio.com at the shopping page there. But definitely everyone must have that series, because that information is just too good to is too good for building up your faith. You shouldn't be without it. So the people of Anak, they said, moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites, dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coasts of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. I like this. I like Caleb. I like that character. Because he said, you know, Yahuwah, you know, God is on our side. He drowned the Egyptians in the sea. He delivered us from the land of Egypt. He's provided everything we need. We've seen miracle after miracle. And if he said, go in and take it, well, we could go in and take it. Let's go get it. That's his attitude. There's a man of faith. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against it. The people are stronger than we. Well, it doesn't matter if they're stronger. The Egyptians were stronger too. The whole Egyptian army was stronger, but they drowned in the sea. They weren't stronger than the sea, were they? Oh, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. An evil report. Indeed. Chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Wow. What a shame. How could they forget all that Yahuwah did to bring them? I mean, you know, it had only been like a year and a couple months since they came out of the land of Egypt, since the entire Egyptian army was drowned in the sea. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, of course, we know that it's not the whole congregation there, but it is the majority of the congregation, because, you know, wasn't, I just lost his name, Caleb, he was one of the congregation, and he wasn't murmuring, he was against the whole congregation. So you see how it is, as in a democracy, as in any crowd of people in the mortal kingdom of God. You know, that's what separates the mortal kingdom of God, you know, the nation of Israel on the earth in the flesh, from the spiritual kingdom of God. Because you don't get into his kingdom today as a murmurer, as one without faith, because we enter in by faith. And by faith, Caleb believed. But the majority, as it always is with any majority, we see and we understand that the majority of the people on planet Earth will never enter into the kingdom of God by faith. They will always believe the evil report because they're only looking at the flesh. They're only looking at what they can do. They're only looking at their own weaknesses. And certainly, you know, we do have weaknesses, we understand that, and we should look at our weaknesses, but our weaknesses should make us look at how strong our Creator is, who delivers us. We could not, by our weakness, be saved from our own sin, but by the strength of His Spirit, by the strength of what He did and provided for us, we are now free from the law of sin and death. That's the kind of faith that Caleb had. That's the kind of faith that Moses had and the minority had in the mortal kingdom of God, Israel. But the majority did not have that. And what did they do? They murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. How pitiful. And would God that we had died in this wilderness. Oh, we should kill us now, or we should have died then. Now, what kind of spirit is this? that the people are murmuring and saying such awful things. We should be dead, you know, because we don't want to go up against, you know, they got this evil report. What if all of, or at least a majority of the spies had brought back a good report like Caleb? Would the people have listened? Yeah, we know that only one, well, two actually, it was Caleb and Joshua, brought back a good report. And of course the majority always ruled. That's the way democracy works, doesn't it? And that's why democracy is an abomination. Okay, here we go. And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? So now they're imagining how they're going to fall by the sword, because their strength, they're only looking at their own weakness rather than, you know, their strength. They didn't fall by the sword of the Egyptians, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Oh, now, you know, that would be better if we returned to Egypt. Oh my. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. You know, and as a man of faith, you know, I feel it, you know, this, what Moses and Aaron felt, you know, and all of us that walk by faith that are in his kingdom now, you know, in that spiritual kingdom of God, we know, we feel it. I mean, just, they fell on their faces. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They tore their clothes, man. They were so distraught at the behavior of the majority here. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth in milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against Yahuwah, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and Yahuwah is with us. Fear them not. Well, what a speech, man, by Joshua. But all the congregation bade stone with them stones. So now the congregation is going, stone them, stone them. They're going to stone Joshua and Moses and Aaron and Caleb. Stone them with stones. And the glory of Yahuwah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than thee. And this is what he's saying to Moses. And Moses said, and you know, this here, the humble heart of Moses and his love for the people comes out here. And Moses said unto Yahuwah, the Egyptians shall hear for it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Yahuwah, art among this people, that thou, Yahuwah, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you shall kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because Yahuwah was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great among great according as thou hast spoken, saying, Yahuwah is long-suffering, and great mercy, and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. So, even though Yahuwah is long-suffering. And this is Moses reciting the word of God in his prayer to the Heavenly Father. He's saying, Yahuwah is long-suffering, great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. And I'll tell you what, when I pray, you know, I pray for that chain to be broken, the chain of my fathers, the iniquity of my fathers. You know, let it end with me. Let it end. Because I know my father didn't follow hard after the Heavenly Father like I'm following after him. And I want to break that chain of iniquity. Because he says, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. And what I realized, and I believe I discussed this, or if I didn't, well, I'm discussing it now when we went through the Ten Commandments, because this is straight out of the Ten Commandments. It's smack in the middle of the Ten Commandments. But he also says, in showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So much of the iniquity that is passed on from generation to generation is learned behavior. That's right. And if we're in error, we're teaching our children error. And that's why it's so important to confess our sins to our children and let them see us exhibit a humble and repentant heart before them. So one, that they don't repeat our iniquity. And number two, that they learn repentance and learn to practice that in their life. So Moses continues, now I beseech thee, because the Yahuwah is not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them. Oh, and I read that already. Let me jump back here. And Yahuwah is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, Numbers 14, chapter, verse 19, pardon, I beseech, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And Yahuwah said, I have pardoned according to thy word. So Moses, instant, with a humble heart, in intercessory prayer for the people, because he sees the anger of Yahuwah, this righteous anger being kindled against the people. And the people are not going to be pardoned from their iniquity. It says, by no means clearing the guilty. And you'll see, the judgment is going to come down. So, you know, we are forgiven for our sin in that we get to escape death. But let none of us sin lightly. Let none of us enter into error lightly. Because we will bear the burden of it. And our children may bear the burden of our willful disobedience. And even our ignorant disobedience. Because we haven't searched out the word. Or we believed liars who said that God's law is nailed to the cross. We will bear in our flesh, in our lifetimes, the consequences of our disobedience. Don't kid yourself. You may escape the punishment of sin and death. You may rise from the dead, but you will not, and your children will not. That's why I say it's so important to be humble enough to repent before your children so that they don't follow in your error and that they also learn to repent. We need to be that humble before our children. It is so important, and that is one way that we can love them. You know, obedience to our Heavenly Father, that is the highest form of love. If you love your children, that's why I say it. If you love your children, obey His commandments. If you love your wife, obey His commandments. If you love the people out there, whoever it is, you live by His commandments. Because obedience to His commandments is the greatest love there is. That's what He said. Yahshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, not everyone who calls on the name or calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the things that please my Father. So obedience is very important. What pleases him? If Yahushua said that, I think we should pay attention for all of those haters of the Old Testament out there and the haters of his law. Well, they kind of blot out and ignore a lot of things that Yahushua said about the law. And they listen to the liars, the pastors and teachers and hypocrites of the mystery Babylonian corporate church out there, sponsored by the state, the beast. Okay. And Yahuwah said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahuwah. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I have did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. So now all of these men which provoked him, all of these men that express this faithlessness, the majority of these people will never see the land. They shall not see the land. That's the judgment. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites, the Canaanites, dwelt in the valley. And he says, tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And I don't know why we have that parenthetical phrase there. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Perhaps that's a reference to the part of the land that Caleb and his seed would get. I don't know. But I have it there parenthetically inserted. And he continues, tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. So their judgment is, you're not going to enter the land. If they had come back with a good report, if they had said with one voice, or at least a majority voice, said, let's go in and take it, well, they would have gone in then. Apparently, that's the gist. But certainly, our Heavenly Father was not surprised. He knew what was going to happen. Numbers 14:26. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yahuwah, as you have spoken in mine ears, so I will do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which you have murmured against me. So they're going to bear the consequences of their disobedience. We'll be back after this brief interlude.